Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Hi, I'm Ben. I suffer from a condition called writer's block. It strikes when I'm at work. That's why I choose Canva Magic Write. It works fast, generating texts in seconds, thanks to AI.
Common side effects include increased productivity, compliments from coworkers, feelings of satisfaction.
Now I can say bye-bye to writer's block.
Ask your boss if Canva Magic Write is right for you at canva.com, designed for work.
This episode is brought to you by AARP. 10 years from today, Lisa Schneider will trade in her office job to become the leader of a pack of dogs. As the owner of her own dog rescue, that is. A second act made possible by the reskilling courses Lisa's taking now with AARP to help make sure her income lives as long as she does. And she can finally run with the big dogs. And the small dogs, who just think they're big dogs. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/skills.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Interview with Kevin Urrutia. He's a thinker on digital marketing. He comes from an IT background, has some lessons for us on the way he thinks about engaging with customers, and his company does home cleaning. This is a bonus episode of The Business of Tech. So we were talking a little bit before we jumped in here. My audience is heavily IT service providers, generally focused on the SMB. Now, you've got an interesting background. Your resume perked my interest because you're in the home cleaning business, but you're an entrepreneur, tech guy. You want to give me a little bit of sense of your background here?
My parents would always take us to construction and working. So we're doing a lot of construction work outside, like masonry and carpentry. And for me, I never liked doing it. So I was like, okay, I got to find something that I like. And that's where computers and programming came. I was like, oh, if I can stay home and do it, I'd rather do that. So that's when I went to college in upstate New York in Binghamton and started computer science. But when I was in Binghamton too, I was still big into tech and programming. And at least for me, I was obsessed with learning about tech and programming. I was reading TechCrunch all the time. I was reading Hacker News all the time. And it's kind of one of those things where you just got to addicted to it. You got to keep reading. You read an article, you read another article, and I'm like, okay, I got to go to tech. I got to go to Silicon Valley. I have to go do this thing because that's where everybody is. And anyways, all this time I was in college. I started my own company called One Tiny Bit, which was a web development agency, which is Ruby on Rails and iPhone apps. And I still remember it's so funny because I was working with Wilson, who's a designer. And we hired somebody that was in high school working for us while I was in college. And I was 20 at the time. And I never, for me at that time, I never thought about it like that. But I was like, oh, this is just because we're so busy and we need help. But now I tell people, I'm like, oh yeah, I did have an employee when I was in college. It's such a weird concept. But I guess when entrepreneurs, when you're doing the thing, you don't really think about it. You're just kind of like, oh, this is what I got to do to solve my problem. But then when you tell people, they're like, whoa, that's so crazy. I'm just like, oh, was it? This is just part of it, right? Anyways, it's a part of it. So then basically I was in college, I was still doing this building software, building tech. And Dave, I think I was telling you before where I was really big into this mantra of, if you build a great software, if you build a great product, users will come. People will just come find you somehow. But that's what I believed in. And really, I was really doing that for about maybe 7 years. I was constantly just building stuff, but nothing really took off. I was doing competitions, hackathons on the weekends in San Francisco and New York. And it wasn't really until my second job, where I was working at this company called Zarly in San Francisco, that I kind of was thinking about, like, hey, like, how come we're not getting that many users? And this is the time too. The company was maybe about 50 employees. We raised a ton of money from venture capitalists, but we didn't have that much users. So that's when I started thinking about, like, marketing. I was like, oh, like, maybe it is. Because I thought our product was great. We built it. We had great customers initially, but we just didn't have enough customers. And that's when marketing started thinking about it. And that's when I learned more about SEO, traffic, and marketing messages. And that's when I realized, oh, some of these, like, companies out there, you don't have to be the best, but if you have a great marketing strategy, you can get customers. And for us at the time, there was other competitors in the space that I was like, oh, that's what they're doing to grow. And I was like, that's what we're missing. So maybe I should learn marketing, but then at the same time, that also clicked for me too, because I was just like, oh, this is why my products don't grow, because I've been building stuff and I just, like, don't market them.
What's interesting in your background is you're actually also running now a services business, right? You've got a home cleaning business that you're running now. Tell me a little bit more about that.
So basically, how that came out was, I was at Zarly. Zarly is a kind of like an Angie's List or a Thumbtack, essentially. And really, when I was working on there, I was noticing that a lot of the companies that are making the most money on the platform were these home cleaning companies. And that's when I was like, oh, like, I was like, well, this is interesting, because, like, I saw some of the issues where a cleaner, you get enough customers, you basically couldn't take any more customers on the platform. So then I was thinking about it. That time was Uber coming out, right? Uber, like Uber and Lyft. So I was like, oh, what if I make, like, my own Uber, Lyft for, like, cleaning companies? That's literally the idea came from. And then that's when that idea came from. It was more because I saw this, like, thing in the company I was working at, and then I left to go do my own version of, like, one niche that I saw was doing really well. And then I started the company's called Maid Sailors here in New York City, because at the time I also moved back home. And that's when I started the cleaning business. And really, for me, a lot of it is because I saw that there was demand, and I learned about the demand through just, like, learning marketing. I was like, okay, people are looking for home cleaning companies all the time because A, you have a bad experience, or B, it's too expensive. So I saw that, like, through marketing, that made sense. And at least for me, that was the first time I ever built something that I knew there was demand for. A lot of times I was just building my own ideas that I didn't know if anybody wanted. I just thought it was cool. And I thought, for me, it was very cool because, like, hey, this is competitive, but at the time, if it's competitive, that means people want this. That means, like, if I can put myself in front of other people, I'll get at least a customer. And that's kind of how I started the cleaning business, through just, like, a little bit of my background, but at the same time, just, like, thinking about it. And also at the same time, I was thinking about the cleaning business as a whole. Back then, when you had a cleaning service, I'm not sure if you know, like, people, you would send someone to your house, be like, hey, Dave, like, your apartment's this big, this is how many rooms you have, we're going to charge you X amount of dollars, right? That's how the process was before. And I thought, like, hey, this doesn't make sense. I want to make it so that, like, you have essentially, like, a flat rate pricing. No matter how big or small your home is, you're going to have a flat rate pricing. That way you can book online. Because I was like, that's where, like, tech was like, oh, it's like, I've, like, we can just use Stripe, right, to collect payments and credit cards. I was like, it's a waste of time and money to go send somebody to your home, and then they're going to tell you, like, no, I don't want it. I was like, just wasted, like, 5 hours. Like, you can just go there and do that. So that's how I thought about the cleaning company. And then now, for at least the maid company, we grew it through a lot of organic traffic. SEO was a big, big channel for us. I would tell people, like, anything with marketing, it's like, you got to figure out what's coming up. At that time, over 5 years ago, people know Google Maps is big now. But at the time, Google Maps was just sort of starting out, and the local listings was a big thing for us, where if someone searched for, like, Maid Service NYC, we would come up on the top, and that helped us get tons and tons of customers. And that's because, like, we saw that. I was, like, reading out articles, like, search engine land, like, hey, you should optimize for this. And I was like, oh, this looks interesting. Let me go try and do that. And that's when I started doing that. Yep.
So what's super interesting about what you just said is there's some parallels in IT services, particularly around the idea of people having to go out and do assessments, having to understand the customer. Most importantly, there's an element of trust. And I would say, think in the sale of cleaning services, that's kind of intimate, right? You're inviting someone into your home. You have to trust them to take care of that. How, when you sell services online, are you establishing trust through that mechanism?
Yeah, I think that's so, that's such a good question, because I think for people selling stuff online, it's that trust, especially when people are so skeptical of that service because you've been burned before or stuff doesn't work. At least for our cleaning company, we made it very simple. I knew that we want to have an online chat. So we have an online chat on our website. We use this platform called Talk.to, where someone can talk to that a user about the pricing, any certifications you might have. Second thing is certifications, right? We're licensed and insured, and we display that on our website. So if you're an IT professional, put all the licenses, put all the certificates you got, because that's, that means something to people. And another thing that we do too is phone number. We allow people to call us anytime to book a service. And if you think about a cleaning company, our average cleaning cost is $150, but having a phone number gives that trust that you can talk to a real person. And I think for us, that's so important. And the other way too is honestly, like, depending on your niche, like if you're IT, you need to look at where are people reviewing your products or services, and you want to be on those platforms. So for cleaning, Yelp is a big thing for us. So we want to make sure that we have a lot of great Yelp reviews, a lot of Google reviews too, because we know that people, I always tell people all the time, Maid Sailors, right? That's our brand name. But when we look on Google or like Google Maps, the second most searched term is Maid Sailors reviews. So you got to like look at all the review platforms, right? And that happens for almost every brand. Apple, what's the second most searched term? Apple reviews. People want to know. So you want to appear on these platforms. And again, as a professional, you want to have a great review strategy when you know you did a good job. For Maid Sailors, if we know we did a good cleaning, we're going to call the customer and say, hey, we're happy you love the cleaning. Please review us on Google or Yelp. Because for us, that's so important to continue that trust of new customers. No matter how many customers you have, new ones are always going to be skeptical. And you got to constantly be building this like processed in your system.
So you've been thinking a lot then about marketing too. Oftentimes I would think about the maid space. I would also think about IT services this way. Lots of it. As someone who normally this would be done through kind of word of mouth, right? As the primary way that a small cleaning company gets reviewed, IT services gets reviewed. So how do you adjust for this? What do you tell companies who rely on word of mouth as their primary method that what they should be doing?
Yeah, I think word of mouth is good, but it only get you so far. The reason why, even for Maid Sailors, we get a lot of word of mouth, and we sort of help facilitate that with like cards that we leave in, on the business. But with sort of paid marketing or any sort of marketing, really what you're trying to do is you're trying to predict your growth. And with word of mouth, it's unpredictable, and you can build a great business just pure word of mouth. But it really also depends on what type of business you want to build as an entrepreneur, as a founder. I think I talked to a lot of other maid companies too, and they're happy just being like, you know, maybe making 300, 400K a year. For me, that's not what I wanted. I want to make 300, 400K a month. So you need to actually be thinking of the strategy and the growth of it. And that's why I tell people you need some sort of, it doesn't need to be paid or anything. It just needs to be some sort of form where you can say like, hey, if I call, like cold calling is a great example, right? Too. If I call 100 people, I'm going to get one sale. And that's just a process where you know you can continue growing. So I think it just really depends on what type of business you want to build and sort of the stress level you want to take as a founder, right? Because all this is like stress, right? So I think that is like something that people need to be, don't discuss about. It's like, yeah, like it's great to grow, but that just means more stress.
Like, how are you measuring that SEO to dollar spend? Like, is it per click? Like, how are you setting goals? Like, give us a little bit more detail on how you're viewing that spend from the top to the bottom.
Okay. Yeah. So for us, for Make Company, we do a lot of SEO. So at least for us, we know exactly how much you're spending on SEO, right? So for Maid Sailors, for example, we're spending about $5,000 a month on SEO, right? And then we, at least for me, I have everything measured through Google Analytics. So Google Analytics, everybody can install it. It's a free sort of plugin by Google. And then there's a section in, and then we have it set up through our, we use another platform for booking stuff, right? Remember, everything online, this is easier when you can book something online or if you have some sort of CRM that tracks the whole funnel. And if you have like a phone system, another great tool that I like to use for this is HubSpot, because you can sort of see the first point of entryway into your funnel. And then in HubSpot, it'll say like organic traffic. Same thing with Google Analytics, it'll say organic traffic. And then, so for us, we have a conversion on the thank you page for the cleaning. So if someone books a home cleaning, they pay us $150. We have a thank you page. Then that goes back into Google Analytics. And the key thing here is Google Analytics will track the whole like user process. And then it'll say like, hey, this is an organic sale. So then you go into your Google Analytics and then you do like a, you can do a month report or a weekly report. But in there, in the e-commerce section, it'll show you how many conversions you have and the value. And I think as a somebody listening to this, it's, you want to make sure that in your tracking, you have the value of that sale, because then that's how you'll get your ROI. So for example, we know we spent $5,000 and Google's now telling us we made like $20,000. That means, okay, we have a 4X return on ad spend. This is a great month for us. We made more money. And that's how, at least for us, we're thinking about it. And I think the key here, Dave, is just making sure that you have this tracked, because it's sometimes really hard to not have it tracked. And it's obviously harder when it's like a phone sale or like, cause you have to like a manual CRM, but online stuff, it makes it easier. But yeah.
So the real trick to this for you is, and I'm almost intentionally being simplistic here, is that you're trying to drive everyone to online sales to purchase your services through your website. Everything is about that, right? It is about driving to that. And so you're putting out online ads, you're doing advertising, you're also doing it through search engine optimization, making sure you're putting out content to drive people to it, to drive to the website, that they interact through the website and they transact through the website. And you're just using the tools all the way to track the whole way through. Is that a fair way of looking at that metric?
Yeah, that's essentially it. Or another way to think about it. So I'll talk a little bit of how we kind of do it. So with the maid service, it's pretty simple because it's almost everything online. But let's say for Voi, which is kind of like more of like a high touch sale where we require 2 to 3 calls, right? That's right. Where we really use HubSpot for this. HubSpot is okay. Really great because, and again, I think going back to what you said before, the first touch for us is still the website. It's like, hey, contact us. Because now when they contact us, we track where that lead came from. Facebook ad, Google ad, organic SEO. And then now we can follow that through the process and say, okay, Dave closed. We know that from HubSpot, it came from Google ads. So now we're assigning a value to that. And then we can sort of see that. I think honestly, with anything like this, it's just making sure you have some sort of a good tracking system in place. And I think that is the hardest part. It's just like, even for us, we do sales and it's just like, oh, did I forget to move them in the pipeline? I'm like, oh yeah, I did. Okay, let me go move them in.
One of the things that we hear from a lot of marketing companies is oftentimes that you can't measure this stuff, right? That it's just too hard. What's your take on that approach from people that are talking that way about marketing?
I think some stuff is really hard to measure, but I think there's tools. For example, people always say it's hard to measure, but I think that HubSpot has like a free tracking tool that literally like in their CRM, it shows where people come from. And I think that's like great. I'm just like, I don't know why people don't really use it enough, but I'm using it for all myself. I'm just like, oh, this is pretty good how detailed it is. And it's hard. It's definitely hard because you have to set it up. Like for us, HubSpot is hard because like manually we have a sales guys and they need to do it. I'm just like, oh, you didn't mark the deal done. So then it's like, didn't work. And it's like, eh. But it's definitely getting tougher and it's not easy. But if you're doing like a pure e-commerce play, then it's easy because it's just like you can track everything in Google Analytics. I think it's definitely hard for B2B stuff. And that's why I can see where it's hard. But honestly, it's like, I think like with anything, like you want to at least try to get a customer's email or phone number and then sort of see what is that first touch point and what ad or platform you used to get that customer inside your leads essentially. And then you can sort of see if it worked or not.
If somebody was thinking about where they should spend their first couple of dollars to get started from a marketing perspective, where would you guide them to spend their money?
I think what I would do if someone wanted to do this was to do Facebook ads. Google ads works. I'll do like a little breakdown. I think LinkedIn is great, but it's super expensive. Of course you have super high qualified people, but a click is like almost $5 to $6 a click, which is insane to me because I'm just like, this is crazy. But like, I would never use that. I'm like, oh my God, this is so wild. And then Google ads is great. And the reason why I think Google ads is great, because if you're targeting like broad terms, maybe that's a little hard, but you know, other brands that are there that you can compete with. So target those brand names and just sort of make a text ad that says, hey, look, we're cheaper or better than this brand that you're already looking for. come to us. And then you also have Facebook ads, which is the cheapest, but it takes a little bit longer to set up. But I would say like Facebook, Google ads, but and then other than that, I would send people to some sort of landing page that isn't your homepage. I would send them to a page that's very specific to about what you're selling with a contact form or a phone number that's just unique to that ad or that platform. Because then going back to tracking, you can say, hey, if someone called this number, I know it's for my Facebook ads. So that means that's sort of working. Same thing with the landing page. You can say, make one just for Google or for Facebook. That way you can sort of help with tracking. I think the biggest issue with tracking, kind of the question you said before, it's hard if you're sending everybody to the same page, but it's easier when you start making separate pages for each sort of platform. And then that's when you can tell. But then again, like in the beginning, that's sort of hard because you're like, I got to duplicate everything. But in the beginning, you want to be very efficient. And I think just duplicate everything and say like homepage one hyphen FB, homepage two hyphen Google. And now you know, okay, this person came from Google, this person came from Facebook. And then that's how you can track more, much better.
Thanks for listening to this bonus episode of The Business of Tech. Remember, if you like this kind of content, you can support it directly. Visit patreon.com/MSP Radio for our Give What You Want program. Every little bit helps, and we are supported directly by listeners like you. I'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.